The following is an original production of Mod Mobilian Radio.
Mobile.
It looks like just check. Hey, if y'all just keep me, except for one. You soft talkers.
1, 2, 1, 2. Check 1, 2.
You put it there. Are you ready?
Patty.
Is it recording?
You're gonna kick it off here.
Yeah, it's recording. Okay. You're listening to Babylon Mobile from Mod Mobilian Radio. My name is Emily, and today we are coming to you from Haley's. Yes, we've been invited back as long as we promise not to break any more of the furnishings. May that table rest in peace. We have a nice little motley crew today. I'm going to let everybody go around and introduce themselves.
Stephen Granger.
Mac Lipscomb.
Clayton Bates.
Delaine Bond.
I just want to point out that Kat's here. She was all Chatty Cathy before the mics went on.
I could barely wrestle the microphone away from her to start this thing.
I know.
It's okay.
So I don't want to say it's a light week because it is Bayfest week, and that's kind of where I want to kick off with everything because we have the unique insight of the lovely Delaine, who keeps Haley's in check because somebody has to. So to jump right into it, are you excited about Bayfest? Do you look forward to this time of year? Because some of us don't.
I do. I do look forward to it. I'm ready. I'm ready to sling some whiskey, have some fun.
Yes. How would you compare the crowds for Bayfest to the crowds of Mardi Gras?
Interesting question, Emily. I think that the Bayfest crowd is a little bit more tame than the Mardi Gras people, mm-hmm. for sure.
Mm-hmm. You find a lot of out-of-towners coming through the doors?
You know, interesting that you asked that as well. We have a lot of people that come from out of town that keep coming back year after year. It seems to me Mardi Gras is a lot more local people, actually. And we always love it when the band members show up after their gigs.
Oh, yes. Does that happen often?
It does, as a matter of fact.
Nice. There's been some scoffing at the lineup for Bayfest in the past years. And, before we get into that, I'm going to let everybody go around the table and tell me if there is one band at Bayfest that you would catch.
I would watch Anthony Hamilton because he's been great for years, the R&B singer, but I wouldn't spend the money for it. If I happen to find my way into seeing Anthony Hamilton, that'd be great. But beside that, no, not really.
I really don't know if there's a single band I would go see at Bayfest. Personally. No idea who I would see at Bayfest this year.
I would have to say, because I already do have passes in my possession that may or may not have been given to me, I think the old school 90s metalhead in me is definitely going to check Seven Dust set. Part of the eighth grader inside me is still screaming to go see that, so I think I'll definitely be interested to check them out.
I'm pretty excited to see the band ACT. I think they're performing twice on Saturday on the Coca-Cola stage. They must be pretty popular. I'm very interested to hear about what ACT has been doing for a long time. ACT/Asterisk. Here, Delaine, are you excited to see ACT as well?
I have no idea who you're talking about.
You should check the schedule.
I think I will.
I think they're similar to TBD.
Whoever that is. I'm going to go country on you, and I'm a Georgia girl, as some of you know, and I'm going to have to hit Zac Brown Band. It's just the way it is. I like a fiddle. What can I say?
Indeed, indeed. Now, keep the mic for a second, Delaine.
Yes.
For newcomers coming down to Bayfest, they're going to party afterwards. Do you have any pro tips you want to give them?
Well, you need to monitor yourself a little bit. Try to stay out of trouble. Don't get in a fight. Just be nice to the door guys. They'll be nice to you. Come to Haley's, sling, you know, drink some shots. And
if somebody asks you to fill out a membership card, they're not just trying to hassle you.
Oh, no. We hate them. We hate them. We hate paying for them. We hate to buy the ink for them. It's the ABC law. We have to have membership cards to come into clubs that are opened after 2 a.m. It's not something that we like to do. It's just the way it is around here.
And sometimes you just got to follow the rules.
And I'm all about rules, Emily. Why is
God
that funny?
God bless America.
God bless America.
Okay, so we're going to move on from Bayfest to something else that's coming up very soon. Next week is Art Walk, downtown Mobile.
Very excited about
Art
Walk.
Very exciting. I love Art Walk. I love the things I've seen at Art Walk. And you guys have a really interesting artist coming in, Adam Underwood. If you come by Haley's, you can see one of his pieces now.
It's amazing.
It's quite lovely. And I can almost name everybody
in the painting. Yes, yeah. Adam is great. He's a youngster, like I would like to call, coming up in the art world. He does phenomenal work, and we've had some really great artists in the past. Dr. Blah, who does the body painting and the abstract stuff, but Adam is amazing, and we do the free wine tastings and just get together and have a good time.
Yeah, you're kind of new on the scene with doing Art Walk. It's really gotten, Haley's has really been more involved with it this year as having artists actually show here.
Yes.
What motivated y'all to do that?
Well, actually, Haley did it years and years ago before she moved. She's very involved with the art world, and I just thought it was a good opportunity to bring in some people that hadn't been seen. I always try to get people that aren't from Mobile, nothing against the Mobile artist, of course. I think Adam is from Mobile. Just to encourage people to come out and be a part of this great thing that we're doing downtown.
It's always pretty amazing. And Dr. Blah is...
He's a crazy man.
He's crazy. If you ever get a chance to see Dr. Blah, you should. But you should definitely stop by Haley's on your art walk route.
Yes, have some wine with me. I have treats, snacks, all kinds of
stuff. Yes, they have fabulous treats and snacks and the wine. And I'm only going to echo what your staff has said to me before, but when Delaine has a wine buzz, everything is right in the world.
I'm so nice.
Not that you're mean.
Well, some would disagree with that.
It's just
sunshine
and lollipops and
happy,
and rainbows
lovely
and unicorns.
And happy thoughts, people. That's right.
Okay, now I'm going to take a break and let Clay Bates take over, because we have some interesting things to speak of regarding Daphne High School. Are you ready?
Yeah, there was a little piece I picked up reading the news today. Daphne High School this fall has upset a lot of locals and taxpayers. They had a French teacher who'd been there for some years at Daphne High School who retired this past year. And they had an open spot on the faculty. They've decided to make a move and hire a former professor from the University of South Alabama who teaches Arabic language. And this has upset a lot of people, taxpayers and locals in Daphne, because they feel that teaching Arabic language, in order to do that, you also have to teach the culture. And they feel like their kids are going to be involuntarily forced to learn a culture of hate. They feel like they're being forced to learn a language of a culture that does not appreciate America, doesn't like Americans. And so they feel like it's a disservice to themselves to fund the school, and they're doing so.
But that's not the only language offered, right?
No.
So you have the option to not take it if you're morally opposed
Correct.
To
it. Correct, but it does also raise an eyebrow, because French is a very common language that's taught in a lot of high schools around the country.
Yes.
And so now instead of French, they're being taught Arabic, which is, it's kind of controversial, because it is
controversial. It's controversial in the South, but if you go to other places of the United States, Arabic's offered in almost every high school.
It's
a language that, in my opinion, it's not a bad one to learn. I had to take Arabic classes when I was in the military. I mean, you'd be surprised how often that actually kind of comes in handy.
Yeah, I mean, the way that things are evolving, the world is evolving, yeah, it does make sense in certain areas of the world. But the South being the place that it is, and sometimes being behind the times.
We just like to move at our own pace.
Understood. And those people who are moving at their own pace are pretty upset about this issue. Especially when, they're people who are, the workaday kind of folk that are paying their tax dollars, you know, to give their kids a good education, and Daphne Schools being a good place to send your children to go to school. Now they're getting upset about this being forced on their students.
I want a parent's perspective.
Huh, it's Delaine again. You know, so what you're telling me, excuse me, is they're not offering French anymore.
From what I understand from the article, no.
I think that's ridiculous. I just I don't agree with that. Also, and it might be a little controversial to say, but I don't know his name, but the kid that went to Daphne High School that was the terrorist, there might be a little soft spot there.
Yeah,
with
and
that
absolutely.
As well.
That was also mentioned in the article. A lot of people, you know, that kind of touched on a soft spot for a lot of people because there was such an issue with that when all of that came out.
I was unaware there was such a demand for it, and I live over there. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's the issue in question. Is there a demand for it? Is it necessary?
Right.
Could they have gone through greater efforts to find a French teacher? Was this kind of a last-ditch effort just to fill a spot? And, you know, is this valid? Are they going out on a limb? You know, what's the real issue there with Daphne High School pursuing this route?
It's a very good question. I don't have any of those answers. I do agree with Emily, though, when she says you can choose what classes to take, you know? And
true.
If you're uncomfortable with it, don't take it.
I mean,
you know, it is a free country, and if this is what these kids want to learn, then let them learn, I guess.
There may be an overload in Spanish at Daphne High School this fall.
See.
I definitely see that happening. So, anybody else have any thoughts on...
I took German in high school. I can't, because I took German in high school for 6 weeks, and then Herr Esrig told me that I would be better suited in a different elective, and that's when I joined drama. Wow.
What?
Nothing.
I certainly don't think Arabic is in any high demand in Daphne, Alabama. But I don't think it's bad. It is a culture, and it's just like many other cultures. There's plenty of cultures that promote hate, but not everyone who speaks Arabic promotes hate.
Right.
And if those kids, if those kids so see fit to learn that, why not? If I was in their position, I would, because not many people in Daphne, Alabama could say, oh, yeah, speak Arabic fluently, whatever.
Yeah.
It is definitely an option and an experience. It's something to learn. And that is what high school is about.
True.
And French is very common, and as is German and Spanish. And that is kind of out there for this area. So in that sense, I think that's pretty cool. But, you know.
No, I was just thinking, you know, if you have some juniors or seniors who are maybe looking to go into the military after high school, and being that there's so much going on in Arabic-speaking countries, it can only benefit them.
Yeah.
And every country has had wonky times and bad stuff going on, just because this is more present day than versus back in the day.
Yeah. It's the way things are in the South. It's not necessarily a bad thing to maybe be a little more progressive and you know, have somebody like Daphne High School maybe push the culture a little bit. You know, we...
And Daphne's always been, you know, they're sort of progressive, especially, you know, and not in a bad way, but an aura of, I don't know how to put this, just they've always been more progressive seeming than Mobile, and not now, of course, but there's just...
In an arts culture,
yeah,
and that kind of
definitely.
Thing.
It's always been, slightly ahead, and, you know, people go over there to live, they work here, but they live over there, they put their kids in school over there, they've always said the schools over there are a tad bit better, and even the public schools seem like private schools. I don't think this is a bad thing. I mean, at the ignorant will, and I do think a lot of people are afraid, just based on...
Of course.
Yeah, what the little they know. So it is interesting. But at the end of the day, I don't think it's bad. And like Emily said, if you're going in the military,
yeah,
I think it'd be cool if they taught this in the JROTC program, especially kids who are... she was in that program in high school, and I never went in the military. But they don't really teach you much about what you're actually getting yourself into. It's military history and things like that, and there's no actual getting a kid ready for what he or she will venture into once they enter their branch of the military.
Yeah,
so.
I think you're right. I think maybe implementing that into part of the JROTC program and doing that in conjunction might be a good thing. And, you know, it's just tough because that's such a Alabama in general being more of a Republican state, more of a right-wing area, and especially Daphne being, you know, kind of a high point of that, it is going to strike a chord with a lot of people. Delaney?
Well, I just a friend of mine just made a good point. You know, sometimes the news scares people. And, you know, Japanese, Russian, or German, when they were teaching those for the first time in schools, I'm sure a lot of people didn't like that as well. So,
absolutely.
You know, see what happens.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what I alluded, what I was kind of alluding to earlier. I mean, I took German for 6 weeks, and there was a time that that wasn't a good jam, you know. And that's what I meant by in every culture's got a black spot. we've had some people join us. Kenan is, yeah, go ahead. No, sure, yeah, roll tide.
This is the part where we refresh our drinks.
This is the part where the drinks happen. Kenan's going to pull up a seat.
Emily's getting a news feed at the moment.
All right. Roll time.
Yeah, we just talked about that.
So, yes. Oh, God, I've lost my train of thought.
Get it back. Get it back. You can do it.
And it's gone.
No, but every sorry. Scud will know where to edit this. I think every culture has a black mark on their record. And the only way, I think you can learn so much from history and you can learn so much from culture and things like that. And if that's going to happen there and to where people don't repeat mistakes and stuff. I mean, this is just a high school language course.
Yeah. It's not that
and
big
I can
deal,
understand people getting upset about it. But like we've discussed, their children, if their children are wonky about it and they don't want to take that language, they have the option of Spanish.
It's kind of a red flag that we need to make a bigger push to progress our culture if we're still worrying about some things like that, that, you know, I mean, yeah, it's still fresh on our mind, but it happened a good while ago. I mean,
yeah.
You know, 9/11 didn't happen last year. And no. I mean, granted, it affected a lot of people in a very profound way. But, you know, if we don't move forward, we move backward. And so or we don't, you know, we don't progress at all. So I don't think it's a bad thing. I know it's going to affect a lot of people, but
education's never a bad thing.
No, especially with education being what it is in the South, you know, moving forward, progression is not a bad thing at all. So moving on.
Yes, moving on. I do want to point out that if you have to take a telephone call, you maybe should step away from the table. Yes, but you speak less.
He did turn around.
That kind of means that I'm not here at the moment.
If your back is turned, that means you're not at the table. Just saying.
So moving on.
Moving on.
I do want to bring to the attention of those who do not know yet, this week at Mod Mobilian Radio, our palatial estate, where we have the most state-of-the-art studio ever. So nice. Excuse me? I'm saying, Delaney's like, get back on point. Come on. This week at Mama Billion Radio, we are very happy to have the addition of Hurricane Shane to our air staff. Hurricane has been in the industry for quite some time. Not saying that he's old, because I know he'll hear this and get all butthurt about that. But when I was growing up in Birmingham, when I was a teenager in Birmingham, he was on a nationally recognized for their excellence alternative radio station called 107.70X. And he helped get that going. He's always worked in the Southeast for the most part. He knows the Gulf Coast area well. And his time was cut short down here, not by his own choice. And he loves the Port City and wants to be involved in everything and has always supported Mod Mobilian. So we're very, very happy to have Hurricane on board covering the morning shift, because I know people don't want to hear me twice a day. So it works out really well. I'm hearing tunes. And so since we just talked about Hurricane, let's talk about new music. One thing I want to point out is a band that's played South Sounds a couple of times and it's just been doing phenomenal is Bel Adair, and they're on a pretty wicked tour right now in support of their new album, The Brave and the Blue, which you can hear on Mod Mobilian Radio. They're traveling all up and down the Eastern Seaboard, so we wish them the best of luck, and if you want to check them out, just check out Mod Mobilian Radio.
Nobody's eating their seasonal treats.
K Kenan brought seasonal treats that we're going to pass around as we pass the mic around and get people's new music picks for the week. And then Clay is going to tell us what's happening nationally with new picks.
I did want to say before we get into new music picks of the week, in the current and the present, tonight, Alabama Music Box is a fantastic show. You've got Daikaiju, you know, Kabuki Monster Surf Rock from Huntsville. We've got Baby Baby, Boxer Short Punks from Atlanta. And then you've also, yeah, the band with Killer Abs.
Killer Abs.
And then headlining show tonight from Japan is a band called P-Lander Z. The Japanese Power Rangers of Japanese power punk will be playing tonight. Killer show, Daikaiju, Baby Baby, and P-Lander Z. So if you get the chance,
Baby Baby's,
you
know,
you won't hear this probably until tomorrow. So if you miss it, I'm sorry. But fantastic show going on tonight. I'm sure there's a few more things going on around this weekend. Steven?
Sonny Bama is coming back to Mobile. He's been out of town for a while up in Tennessee, but he is playing an after Bayfest party at Soul Kitchen. It's an 18 and up show, $5. After catching all that national talent Friday night at Bayfest, go and support your local artist, and that's just one of many great shows Soul Kitchen has coming up. But Sonny's excellent. And really drives home the fact that we have a very diverse music scene in Mobile that covers all genres that should be supported by everyone, in my personal opinion. Roll Tide. And we were going to let Delaine say something about new music, but she just looked at me and said, I just put on the jukebox what you tell me to.
Just a damn second. Not everything, okay? Just some of the things. Thank you very much.
Now, Haley's has been voted best jukebox before.
Several years in a row, thank you very much.
And why do you think that? Like, is that because you stay up to date and everything that's going on?
I think it's a collective reasoning, Emily. I believe that when you get two great minds like mine and yours together, we come up with just fabulous music. Go Dogs.
Some of the things you can find on the Haley's jukebox right now, Lord, Tame Impala. I'm trying to remember everything else that you added this week. I think the new Franz Ferdinand's on there. A lot of great stuff. You don't have a stale jukebox at Haley's.
But we did do some old school Two Live Crew because, you know, just to shake things up.
And new additions on there as well. Everybody's got to cool it now.
Isaac Hayes is on there. Some good old Isaac Hayes.
Kenan's with us.
Sweaty Balls.
Chocolate Salty,
salty Balls.
Balls.
There you
Thank
go.
You. Sorry.
Chocolate Salty. Chocolate Sweaty, chocolate,
that's a
sweaty
song
Balls
altogether.
Would be gross. That would
that's,
be nasty.
That's the Rudy Ray Moore tune.
Whatever. Chocolate Salty Balls. It's a good song.
Kenan, what do you listen to these days?
Oh, I've been listening to just random old stuff. I mean, you're going to laugh at me if I tell you. Let's see.
What did you rediscover this week?
What did I rediscover this week?
Yeah, what did you rediscover this week?
I decided on some crazy whim to put Wham on Pandora. And it was freaking awesome. And not just the Wham, but all the other songs they played. Great. I mean, you know, what the hell? Like, I'm kind of that kind of person that I'll have a random thought about a band or something, I'll instill something, and then I'll listen to it.
Here's the Pandora plug for the week. Bringing you
well,
the best
whatever.
Of the things that you forgot about.
It's easy. Pandora's the easiest thing. That's about no new... I've read about new music, but I haven't heard any.
Dwayne?
Well, I just want to say, do a little shout-out to my daughter, Savannah. She actually made 4 CDs for me with hours and hours of my favorite music. My favorite one is titled Mad Mama. It's got a lot of Fiona Apple and Pink on it. So just, you know, maybe I can get y'all to spin it one day. Here you go.
Some of those tunes for when you're in mom rage. You're zoning out. Steven, what are you listening to, man?
I don't know, recently I've been listening to a lot of, you know, typically it's older stuff, but listening to that last, the latest Grimes record, Visions, a lot. A lot of spacing out in the room, just hanging out, yeah. Just a lot of craft work and things like that. But on the new front, this month, I know the new Arcade Fire is out, mid-month.
Which you can hear on Modmobilian Radio.
Absolutely.
Right now.
The new of Montreal is going to be great.
Which you can hear on Modmobilian Radio.
And beside that, I don't know, on the new front, I haven't really been paying a lot of attention, unfortunately. But it's like you typically, I'm so far in the past that I'm lost. Mac?
Well, there's this awesome rumor going around that H2O is going to put out a new album before the year ends. And I'm super stoked about that, which actually made me go back and listen to all of my old hardcore albums. So I've really been into, like, you know, I've been listening to, like, a lot of Black Flag, Minor Threat, Youth Brigade, 7 Seconds, all that good stuff lately, rediscovering all that good stuff.
Black Flag right on the cusp of their fantastic show they played here a couple of weeks ago.
I missed it, unfortunately.
It was good. You know, it wasn't all the original lineup, but they did play all the old favorites.
And Mike V opened, right?
There was Mike Vallely was there.
He's the shit.
He was.
Did he punch anyone?
Not that I saw. He was actually pretty mellow, pretty laid back.
He's tame.
I did want to say that I meant to bring this up last week, and I forgot to. But for any of the big post-punk fans out there, anybody into Joy Division and also Depeche Mode. We've got a new addition moving to Mobile pretty soon. There's a gentleman named... No.
That would be insane.
Don't get excited.
That would be so exciting.
Don't get your...
That's going to be really weird.
Don't get your Bobby Browns in a wad. We're it's not happening. I did want to say there's a gentleman named Mark Burgess who was the vocalist and bass player for a band called The Chameleons. It was a big part of the post-punk movement in the early 80s. Shared a practice space with Depeche Mode. He's actually moving to Mobile early next year, and he just made a visit last week and got to visit with us.
I met him. He's a really nice dude.
Super cool guy.
Super cool.
So his band, The Chameleons, shared a practice space with Depeche Mode back in the day. They all toured together.
Okay. And The Chameleons, though obscure here in Alabama, over in the native England, are highly influential. Highly. The few albums they did. Really did shape that scene, and this is a pretty big deal to have him a part of the scene.
Yeah,
it really is.
You know, a big piece of UK culture is now moving to Mobile and possibly be a part of the art scene and help kind of move things along here.
Yeah.
That is exciting. Those guys are still playing a lot of big festivals and stuff all over the world. And those fans of post-punk.
And these days they're playing as Chameleons Vox.
Chameleons Vox,
I do believe.
Name of the band now.
And so they had slight success with the college scene here in the 80s. They were the Chameleons UK. That was their title here due to just differences in the band name. There was, yeah, it was like Wham UK there was at one point. Yeah, because there was a different Wham. There was a different Chameleons. But most people that I know of around here have never heard of them, and that's a shame.
So that's an older band that you should definitely check out, because I guarantee you there will probably be a Chameleon show in Mobile sometime early next year. Had a chance to check out the Spin Magazine top 5 new bands for October. A few new interesting things to talk about. There's a really cool, like, 70s and 80s melodic punk band style coming out of Missouri called Radke. It's three brothers.
Yes. Yes.
They're 20, 18, and 15. They're super young. They've got this really cool 70s and 80s sound. Lead singing is very Danzig-esque. A lot of hey-hays and ho-hos and that kind of stuff. So anybody that's into, you know, the Ramones and Danzig and the Descendants and that kind of stuff, super cool sound coming out of Missouri right now. There's a DJ producer out of Columbia. His name is Sano, and he's got a real if the Velvet Underground did dance music, this is what I think they would sound
What's
like.
What's his name?
His name is Sano, S-A-N-O. And he's got a single out called Chupa right now. It's a real 90s club beat electronic kind of stuff, so check that out. There's a really cool, he's kind of a pimp rapper in the style of Ice-T, a guy named 100s.
Yeah.
Coming out of Berkeley in the style of like DJ Quick, Ice-T. He's got a song.
He was on my KRS-One station not too long ago.
Yeah,
actually.
He's actually got a single on the Grand Theft Auto 5 soundtrack right now called Life of a Mac. That's pretty intense.
I need to check that out.
Gangster stuff, yeah. Pretty cool.
My name is involved. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, right. Then also there's an electronic duo, male-female duo out of North Carolina called Sylvan Esso. And they've got a single out called Play It Right now. That's a very cut-time, dancey, cat power, volcano choir kind of sound. super cool, very kind of brash female vocals over this airy pop kind of stuff. Pretty cool. Check that out.
Really what I've been listening to exclusively.
Yeah. That's some really cool stuff. And then lastly, there's a five-piece group out of South Africa called John Wizards. Really cool reggae auto-tune kind of stuff, in the style of like dub, cloud rap, post-disco, afrobeat. They've got a single out called Lukasa by Night. There's a lot of sleigh bells and airy chant and stuff going on there. So there's a few bands for you to check out for October. Kenneth's got something that he'd like to say.
No, because I can't remember the band name or the song name. And I just told her that. And it's a pop song. Literally, I'm trying to remember the title. So it's, at first, when I heard, I mean, I have kids, so I have to listen to pop music and sometimes. And it sounds like an older country song, which it's not. It's an original, and it has this rap all the way around it. And it's like Aselius or Asir. I don't even know. See, I told her not to give me the microphone.
Avicii?
About this. Amici.
Avicii?
Avicii. Oh,
yeah. Yes.
That song is actually, it's huge. And in Europe, it's a big dance hit right now.
Yeah, that's a great.
Cool thing about that song is it was actually produced by Mike Isinger, the guitar player from Incubus, who does all the guitar playing on that song. The vocalist is actually Allo Black, who's had a big hit with like I Need a Dollar, was featured on Tremé. He's had a bunch of stuff that was he's been big on like BET here lately. This is somebody that I like a lot. Just
pronounce
really,
the name again.
His name is Allo Black. Well, the singer is Allo Black.
Avicii.
Avicii is
That's
the
really
he's the DJ.
Right, but I mean the song when you first hear, I mean the section of it, not the rap. I mean, I'm like, this is like an old 80s George Bush political campaign song in a cool way, and the way it wraps all around it. But y'all weren't even born when just George Bush was running for president.
That's not true. I was.
Okay. But remember how he had Lee Greenwood, and I'm proud to be an American and all that. But it's not really like that song. That's a bad characterization, but it sounds like that period.
It's a very anthemic.
Yes,
kind of
it's
song.
An anthem. It's just like
it's
proud
an
to be an American.
It's an empowering
all that
kind
stuff.
Kind of song, and it's a huge dance hit, dance club hit, I guess. And of course, here we are in the South, left out of the loop again. But in Europe, it's huge. Song's massive right now. I didn't mean to down the South. I'm just saying we're a little behind the times.
Clay likes. I love Clay. I love you, Clay. And like I said earlier, the South just moves at their own pace and does things on their own timetable. And that's not always a bad thing.
I didn't say it was a bad thing.
Sometimes it is.
Be that as it may, we're a little behind the curve. That's okay.
But we were trying to think of what we were ahead
of the curve on. We're at our own pace. College football. College football.
Food and college football. Delane. Booze. Moonshine. Go Dogs.
Speaking of food. I think Kenan actually has.
I was just going to ask you where
some culinary things.
What's the best meal and what did you have outside of home in the last 10 days?
Well, I will tell you, I just got back from New Orleans. I went to went to the Saints Dolphins Monday night game the other night, and went to my absolute favorite place in New Orleans, which is called Coop's.
Yes, I've been to Coop's.
Went to Coop's. I have a very good friend visiting from Germany right now, who I took to taste the best of Cajun food that New Orleans had to offer, and we had the taste plate with gumbo and jambalaya and etouffee and red beans, and for my money, the best Cajun fried chicken homemade hands down at Coop's Place in New Orleans.
Yes, I would agree. It's been a while since I've eaten there. I'm glad you brought it back into my mind.
Every time I go to New Orleans, I know there's so many good places there. Johnny's Po' Boys, I got to eat at the other day.
I ate there just a couple of weeks ago.
Fantastic.
And I'm always either. I'm always going to a different restaurant I'm just always going to a different restaurant because there's so many to go to that I've had in the last 10 days. Well, I definitely didn't go to New Orleans. So, I've had brunch out lately, and there's some places I've been back to I haven't been in a while, and then there's a new place. I went to 615. No, Cafe 615. I always get all that screwed up. And their brunch is still very good. I had not had a chance to go in a while. I got what the hell did I get? No, my friends all got the lobster crepes, and those were delicious. I had salmon on top of grit cakes with hollandaise sauce. Yeah, it was really good. And then, everything comes with eggs and all that. And they have a great Bloody Mary bar. Then last weekend, I went to the Legacy Bar and Grill, and this is their second or third weekend. Now, it's $20, just like 615 is. They had a great jazz. They had Bay City Brass playing, for a little brass jazz band. And, we wore jeans, and, there were people from church, et cetera. But for $20, they had an incredible – yeah, listen up over there, buddy. They had an omelet station with crab meat and ham and, spinach and red peppers and all that. Then they had a salad. They had eggs, grits. Nobody's fucking listening. So anyway, it was good. They had eggs and grits. They had baked chicken. It was all delicious. They had baked chicken. They had fried fish that were good. They had the carved beef.
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, I would go. I would try it again.
Watch.
Huh? So.
Well, the South is pushing food, yes. Mobile's a little behind. Because you have towns like Charleston that are just completely destroying the rest of the South when it comes to food.
Actually, everybody's really destroying us when it comes to that. I'm saying everybody is doing very well right now because the South is the hot spot.
Yeah, the trend in the culinary world right now
and
is
Southern. To go what happened, to go back what happened with us is in the 90s, as Delaney will attest, I saw a picture of Michael Ivey at one of those Food for Thought things from when the bakery first opened. This was God knows what year it was. And I in the 90s, and I counted that we had 12 trained chefs there, 12 people from the Culinary Institute of America, Cordon Bleu, all these restaurants. And then I thought, well, what happened? Well, they all went different pathways. Some opened their own restaurant. Most all of them opened their own restaurants. A number of them moved. And what's happened is we're now... You have some good chefs here. You have over at Noja. You have Chocolate. But
I've worked at Noja. I have a culinary degree as well.
Okay, great.
So
why don't you open a restaurant? That's what we need.
Find me a backer,
will. That's what we need. The issue is we don't have young chefs.
I have two kids I gotta take care of.
I understand, but we don't have chefs that are taking risks.
Well, no.
Therefore have in a lot of kitchens are just cooks.
Everybody's getting
complacent. We're a city of cooks.
Like Mobile's getting complacent with putting out the same food constantly, staying with the traditional Southern cuisine, and it's kind of
take a
risk
and open a restaurant.
If I had the backing, I would in a heartbeat.
You know what? If it's your dream,
so
you can make it happen.
It's kind of
do it. I would like to say something.
There's your challenge, Max.
One little thing about restaurants, I'm going to do a little in the Eastern Shore area. Extremely, extremely impressed with Dragonfly. I don't know if you've gone to Dragonfly.
8:30 today for lunch, actually.
Those guys are phenomenal, and I believe that they're opening up a new one in Robertsdale, actually, that's coming up where the old Dairy Queen is. Just innovative, different, fantastic, make your tongue do a dance when you eat at food. So just had to do a little.
Absolutely. I actually just ate and had Dragonfly for lunch today.
Did you like it?
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic. Good. I had their special, which was a pork slider. And they did a ground pork sausage patty, caramelized onion, spinach.
Fantastic.
It was spicy. They had, and the side was fried turnips.
Yes, the fried turnips.
Which was really, really
excellent.
Cool.
Yes, and they've got some of the best cheesecake you'll ever get.
I had
a
piece of Bananas Foster cheesecake that was fantastic.
Out of this world. Dragonfly Cafe and
one
Fairhope.
Of the,
absolutely.
One of the forgotten progressives.
Joe was good over there.
Master Joe's is fantastic.
I think the kitchen on George can put out some good meals. I'm not a fan of their service. I'm not a fan of their service, but I think their meals are good. And I talked a couple of weeks ago on National Hamburger Day, if you'll remember. On National Hamburger Day, they opened up for lunch, and I went. Of course, I didn't find out until that day, so not a lot of people must have known. But it was good.
There's a lot of staple burger places. We're going to talk about burgers for a second. A lot of staple burger places around town. You know, Callahan's really takes the cake. I think something that I really like that maybe not a lot of people are talking about is the Union. Union has a fantastic burger. They've got three different takes on it. They've got a...
I love their burger. Oh, and I love those potatoes. They're like little tiny, tiny baking potatoes, teeny.
Yeah.
And they flash fry and then they roll them in sea salt.
Roll them in sea salt.
Delicious. Fantastic.
And I mean, for the money, 10 to 12 bucks is a huge plate of food. And a really nice atmosphere, great steakhouse, great restaurant, great people.
Yep. Their carpaccio is off the chain, and they have a BLT salad.
I mean,
I've never gotten a steak because there are all these – I mean, I would love to, but there are all these other things I like.
The cuts of meat are fantastic, and, you know, depending on your budget, there's something there for everybody. For my money,
the burgers are
$14
or $15 or $13, and they're big, and they're nice beef.
Absolutely. Emily, what was the best meal you had in the last 10 days?
Non-chain.
Non-chain.
You went to the Blind Mule, I think, on Sunday.
I did.
Was it good?
Brunch was good. They
that was not resounding.
No. they've been theming out their brunches lately, which is cool. They did a British brunch that I really, really enjoyed.
Oh, you cooked it? Wait, what did they have? Do y'all know that next year Mobile's celebrating the Year of Britain? We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. The British brunch so far, that has been my favorite. And it was, if you could not cackle, that would be great.
So what'd you have?
But this week they did a Bayou brunch, which they did a Bayou version of Eggs Benedict, which was cool. It was topped with a fried green tomato, which was different. I dig that, but the British brunch is what I liked the most, and since we have the person here who did that menu, he can tell you what was so great about those bennies, if you will.
The bennies I made? Is that, I didn't hear what you said. No, I really didn't hear what you said. Because it sounded like you said bennies. That's why I said bennies.
Who likes bratwurst? Do you like bratwurst?
I love brats.
I had the bratwurst at the beer garden. It was very good. The other things that are good from, I ate there when they first opened, but they have fried dill pickles that are marinated in Yingling.
Nice.
And they were good. And then somebody got the meatloaf sandwich, I tasted it, and it was good. But what I understand is at nights, they have one or two specials a night that are a little bit more, you know, like a plated dinner, you know, vegetable and all that, that are delicious.
The Benny's I did on the British brunch was actually a traditional. Since you asked that from forever ago, I had to bring it back up. I'm sorry. I was spacing out. It was actually a traditional, the British Eggs Benedict. It was a grilled tomato on top of English muffin with a poached egg and a tomato cream sauce instead of a hollandaise sauce, because really hollandaise is French. Then they kind of did like a twist and they just combined the two. But it was just, you know, standard British breakfast stuff like eggs dippy, which is just, you know, egg on top of, you know, mushrooms and cheese and bacon.
Wow, that sounds good.
Traditional English breakfast, you know, baked beans, your choice of sausage or bacon with toast and egg. It was great. I missed it.
Mac is available to cook you brunch in your home. Just contact Mod Mobilian. We'll send him out your way.
That's a good. Do you do that ever?
If the price is right.
What? If the price is right. I mean, is there a competition for it?
I don't know.
That might be a great idea. That would be a good idea for business.
It would.
You could come. I mean, I'd hook you up.
Come challenge me.
You'd, yeah. Nobody does.
It's your niche. Yeah. We found your niche. That's all you need is a niche.
Really, totally do that. I mean, I'd talk to you about it if you were interested. You can contact me through the Mod Mobility.
Let me know, and I will come cook your family breakfast one day.
It's up to you to take the initiative and let me know.
Let's talk about something else.
Yes, well, yes, we're moving on. We are close to the end point of Babylon Mobile, and I always like to end with one of my favorite subjects, sports.
Go Dawgs.
Could you not hack up along when I say sports?
No, really, that was pure coincidence.
Since Delaney just said Go Dawgs, I want to start out the sports conversation with a text message that I got from my stepmother, who was new to college football. For years, she would sit there and read a book in the corner of the room while we watched football. But then, I don't know, a couple of years ago, she decided to get all into it. And my dad's a Georgia fan. He has every right to be a Georgia fan. She is a Georgia fan by default.
Nothing wrong with that.
So, after Georgia...
Which was an amazing
game.
That
was an amazing game. Thank
you.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was an amazing game. It was an amazing game. But after they defeated LSU, I need you guys to hear this.
We're listening.
After they won, I get a text from my stepmom, all in capital letters, that says, "Now tell me that Georgia can't win the BCS." And I'm just going to pass this along because I wrote
yeah,
her
just
back.
Just go ahead and say that. What do you got to say about that, Emily?
Exactly saying the issue I have with that.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
The simple-minded.
I'm not.
Sorry. Not you. Just
not me.
Okay.
I'm actually.
Okay, I don't want to talk anymore.
I'm going to give the dogs their credit. I am,
yes,
because that was a good game. Aaron Murray finally showed that he could finish a game, which has been his issue the past 3 years. He finally was able to finish a game against a good team. But defense was bad.
I agree.
You cannot – I mean, don't get me wrong. The rush defense was great. But then again, we could also say that LSU's rushing attack is not what everybody thought it was because they didn't really play anybody. But their secondary is bad. It really is. They had issues rushing Mettenberger really bad as well. Anybody can complete passes on you if they can stand in the pocket for 7 seconds.
So, okay. I don't think you should say anyone can do that. I mean, come on. Give Georgia a little
I did.
Credit.
No, I said that's what they did to LSU. They gave Mettenberger time to throw the ball.
Sorry, I get confused.
Yeah, no.
Good at sports talk. I just like to watch the games.
But I will give the dogs their credit. I can actually say 98% chance that they will be in Atlanta for the SEC championship.
Can't wait.
I'm not saying they're going to win. I'm not going to say they're going to win the BCS.
It's not hands down, but I don't know about that. But they're definitely a contender.
Definitely a contender.
On the college slate this week, we got a few big games. We've got LSU coming off that loss from Georgia, playing Mississippi State in Starkville. We've also got on any given Saturday, the SEC is the SEC at the end of the conversation, and Arkansas goes in to Gainesville to play Florida this weekend. Also,
Florida.
Also, from a non-SEC fan perspective, you got a few other big games on the slate. You've got a really good Arizona State team going into South Bend to play Notre Dame.
Yes, we do.
Ohio, number 4 Ohio State against number 17 Northwestern.
Ooh, yes, and then Arizona State has Northwestern next, right?
I didn't look that far down the line, but yeah, that will be an interesting game.
I think that's next as well.
Arizona State has definitely surprised a lot of people, so they will be the team to watch this week. You've got number 16 Washington going into Palo Alto to play number 5 Stanford, which would be a big game.
Yeah, Stanford is going to show up like always and do what they do, but it's still going to be it's in my opinion. I don't have a winner set out in that game.
Yeah,
because it depends on which Washington shows up and what Stanford shows
Washington
up.
Washington is no slouch, but playing in that atmosphere in Palo Alto will be a tough game for them.
Oh God, yes.
You've got a tough, impressive TCU team going into Norman to play University of Oklahoma, ranked number 14 this week. OU's no slouch. That's a good football team.
Coming from an OSU fan.
Well, I'm just saying. and speaking from an OSU fan, Oklahoma State fan standpoint, West Virginia takes on number 19 Baylor.
They do.
Baylor in Waco this week.
Do we have Baylor an upset alert?
I do.
Absolutely. I do, too.
I think West Virginia, they played a great game. Oklahoma State really just didn't show up last week.
Turnovers, we got y'all.
A lot of turnovers really hurt us. And so, maybe a light week in the SEC, but still a good week in college football. I also believe Auburn's playing Ole Miss.
Auburn is playing Ole Miss. And that actually has a lot to do with how great Bama's win was. Because if Ole Miss goes into Auburn and does not blow the doors off Auburn, which they have the chance to do, it will make that win mean nothing for Bama. It will make that shutout mean absolutely nothing. And it's upsetting because I'm kind of scared that Ole Miss might be a little down on themselves after getting shut out. But we'll see. But which also leads me to this. I heard this really interesting thing on SportsCenter this morning. And it really made me laugh in a funny way because they were talking about Bama, how they're not the best team in college football. And they said Oregon is. And they said Oregon played a big, bad team from the SEC.
No, the fuck they didn't. They played the Tennessee Volunteers.
Yeah. True.
I'm getting there. That's where I was going with that. For instance, if a Sun Belt team like South Alabama can come up and almost beat you in your home stadium, in Neyland Stadium, you're not a big bad SEC team, so you can't really say that. And then the other premise was that Oregon went and played an ACC team. They played Virginia.
Well, and Tennessee is definitely in the middle of a fall from grace. You know,
oh, without a doubt.
Several years ago, they were a premier team and really haven't been a great program in the last few years. But major props to Joey Jones and the USA Jags.
Good God,
really showing up and playing solid football.
Good. The defense was great.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see, you know, a good team in this town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of spicing things up.
They're on the rise, and yeah. I think give South two more years, in my opinion, and they'll win the Sun Belt for a good while.
I'm excited to see how they fare against Navy later in the year. Right now we're going to move on to pro football. Who dat? New Orleans Saints showed up big time Monday night. I was in the dome for the game. Fantastic atmosphere Monday night. Everybody was just super loud. It was a great crowd.
Yes.
They were.
They were both
unbeaten and definitely proving that Miami is not the team that everybody thought they were. Playing in a loud atmosphere. I mean, Tannehill had a lot of problems getting calls off, several delay game penalties. You know, it was funny to watch him not be able to get his plays called, couldn't hear what was going on. You know, major props and shout out to the crew in the dome Monday night. They really showed up for that team.
And Saints defense looked great.
Oh yeah,
it looked great. They were in Tannehill's face all night.
They've got a big game coming up this week. They don't play well in the cold.
Nope.
They don't play well outside. They've got Chicago in Soldier Field.
And Chicago is not a slouch this year by no means.
I mean, they did not play well. Chicago got blown out against Detroit last week.
They did.
And Detroit had a bad week the week before. They were looking for vengeance.
I think that was kind of a trap game almost for Chicago, considering the week before that.
Really put it to Chicago this past week. So that's New Orleans-Chicago at noon on Sunday. Speaking of Detroit, you got Detroit. Haley's will be open. Come to Haley's Bar, watch the Saints game against Chicago on Sunday. Also, you got Detroit going into Green Bay.
Yes.
Detroit on the heels of a big win. Green Bay fledgling a little bit.
They don't look like the Green Bay of last year or the year before.
You've also got big game. We'll see what Dallas can do against Denver this week.
Yes. As they are now slated, the unbeatable Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, Denver looks tough.
Ridiculous.
Doesn't look like anybody's going to be able to touch Denver. Another game that will raise an eyebrow is Seattle against Indianapolis in Indy.
That's awesome because, you know, Indy's offense is quite potent when it needs to be, and Seattle's defense is scary at all times.
Seattle not playing in their home stadium is a big disadvantage to them. A lot of
the
noise.
The original 12th man.
A lot of noise in that home stadium. So before we get totally off sports.
Baseball.
We're in the middle of playoff. We're just starting playoff baseball.
Braves tomorrow night. Tomorrow night on TBS.
Again, Haley's
against
will be
the Dodgers.
Over. Come to Haley's, watch the Braves.
We got Medlin
and all the crew.
We got Medlin against Kershaw. It's going to be great.
That would be a good game.
Ugla's out of the lineup.
Somewhat of a disappointment in the game last night. I thought Cincinnati would show up a little better.
I did too.
It was really interesting to watch that crowd in Pittsburgh get inside Johnny Sueto's head and give up two back-to-back home runs in a row.
Martin showed up big time. Yeah, Russell Martin showed up big time. He was a good addition for them.
Also, before we totally – we've got another – there's another wild card game tonight, Cleveland against Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay, yes.
So that'll be interesting to watch with the way that the playoffs are set up this year. There's the play-in game now.
Yep. Well, last year was – I don't even talk about the infield fly rule from last year.
Yeah.
Braves and Cardinals, oh, my God.
Yeah, so we got that going on. Also, hockey's back.
Hockey is back. Go Maple Leafs.
Last night was the first night of the season. Interesting night. Couple of big things. Major injury in the Montreal-Toronto game, if anybody saw it. There was a fight. The guy fell over, hit his chin on the ice, knocked himself out.
Yes, he did.
I love that sport.
I do, too. That'll be on top 10 on Friday.
As you can hear, Haley's is starting to get underway for the evening, so we're going to wrap it up here for Babylon Mobile. I want to thank Delane, Kennan, Clay, Mac, and Steven for joining us this week. And make sure you tune in again next week when more drunken debauchery will be caught on audio. My name is Emily. Thanks for tuning in.
We'll talk about
it from Mod Mobilian and Mod Mobilian Radio.
Oh, I know we didn't get it. Just inside, moving with the Memphis Blues.